Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Everyone all right? Happy Sunday, third week of the In My Feels series. How many of y'all have been to the other sessions we've had on In My Feels? Okay, so y'all kind of know it's been getting a little hot in here. So this is the last message in the series that we're going to do. We talked about sex. We talked about marriage and relationships. Today we're going to talk about being single. What does that look like? How can we better make use of our time as singles? And it's interesting because I'm really happy. A lot of y'all, if you've missed the last few weeks, I really encourage you, check out the messages on the podcast. You can find us on iTunes or at Podbean, heartwaychurch.podbean.com. But it's really cool. Many of you don't know this, but I have the great honor and privilege of receiving so many emails and messages on all my different social media platforms from people who are not like literally in church with us, but who are still kind of a part of our church, because every week they look forward to tuning into the podcast and they engage with what we're doing and they're excited about what we're doing. Just somebody today who was only here for a short period of time and who's leaving back home to Ohio was crying to me and to some of our folks here at church saying, "You don't understand how much of a difference this church has made in my life in the very short time span that I've been here." And so thank you. And I'm really grateful that we get to be a place where people get to experience that kind of change and that kind of encounter with God and with real people. So anyways, I'm really grateful for that. I hope you guys would tune in, catch up to those messages. But like I had said, today we're going to talk to all of the singles in the house. Oh, I'm a single lady. Oh, I'm a single lady. I love it. Okay, so, you know, here's the thing about being single, though, because some of y'all wish you could be flossing like Beyonce in that video, but you can't because your singleness makes you very insecure. A lot of people, for some reason, feel like being single is something to be ashamed of. I personally think being single is something that should be taken advantage of. For me, I would much rather be happy and single than miserable and in a relationship. But if you haven't noticed, I have a lot of friends. I know these people. I have a bunch of friends who are in relationships right now who wish they were single. And I know a bunch of people who are single who wish they were in a relationship. Everybody wants what they can't have. And everybody in each of those scenarios is missing the really big point, which is enjoy where you are. Don't get so caught up trying to get to that next moment that you miss out on all of the goodness and all of the blessings and all of the amazingness that God has for you in this moment. Listen, don't get me wrong. Marriage is a gift. Relationships are a gift. But being single is also a gift. The problem is sometimes it doesn't feel like that, huh? A lot of times people equate being single with being lonely. And so they take their singleness as a sign that they're unloved or a sign that they're unwanted. And because they feel like they have this gap or this hole or this void on the inside, they go out searching for other people who can fill that void. They start looking for validation from a whole bunch of people who are also looking for validation. And then they come together in a relationship and they can't figure out why this person isn't meeting my needs in the way that I expected them to, and why that other person isn't meeting my needs in the way that I expected them to. And the reason why is because validation is not something that anybody else in this world can give you. Validation is something that you give to yourself. And so if you don't know how to be alone without being lonely, I don't think you're ready for a relationship. Until you learn how to be content in your singleness, until you learn how to be satisfied in your singleness, you're always going to be looking for somebody else to do for you what they can never do for you, because that job is something that belongs only to you, and it's only something that you can do for yourself, which is feel good about you and feel complete with just you and feel whole with just you. See, the person that you're in a relationship with isn't supposed to complete you. They're supposed to complement you. A healthy relationship is not two incomplete people completing each other. A healthy relationship is two complete people complementing one another. Do you feel the difference there? is not two incomplete people completing each other. It's two complete people who are complementing each other. Very important that you understand the necessity of a human being being complete on their own and not looking for completion in somebody else. Because if you operate from that framework, if you're just looking for somebody to fill a void, you're always going to lower your standards and settle for less than what you deserve. Because if all you need is to have that void filled, if all you need is that validation, you're going to be looking out through the wrong lens. Essentially, what you're going to be doing is you're just going to be looking for somebody to fill this gap, and they can never really do it. So all you're going to look for is chemistry instead of compatibility. You can have, I messed this up last time because it's kind of like a brain twister, but I'm going to try and get it right this service. You can have you can't have compatibility without chemistry, but you can have chemistry without compatibility. Does that make sense? And that's where we get in trouble. You can't have compatibility without chemistry, but you can have chemistry without compatibility. That's why we get in trouble, because we think if the chemistry's there, then there's something here, because that's all we're looking for, because all we want is to have that void filled. And so, of course, chemistry is good. You want to make sure that the vibe is there and there's an attraction there and y'all get along. But chemistry isn't enough to hold two people together in the long haul. Chemistry isn't enough to keep you together when you feel like strangling the other person because they're not listening to you, okay? They're just looking at you and waiting to respond to what you have to say with their correct answer. Chemistry's not enough to get you through all of that stuff. Chemistry is the first step, but it's never the last step. See, compatibility is about sharing values. Chemistry is just about sharing attraction. Compatibility is about sharing priorities. Chemistry is just about sharing interests. I want compatibility. We need compatibility. But you won't even be looking for compatibility if all you're looking for is the chemistry, because what you feel and that tingliness and those butterflies make you feel like you're on top of the world. There's so much more to love than just the butterflies in your stomach. And so we got to learn how to tap into that, but we can't do that until we learn this first lesson, which is being content where we are. Being satisfied in our singleness. This is a gift that I should take advantage of. See, a lot of people believe in what I call the right person myth. They live with this idea that if I could only just find that right person, if only I can find this right person, then I know everything would be so much better in my life. Everything would be okay. I wouldn't have any of these problems. All these other dudes are bozos. All these other females are crazy. If I just had the one right person. Okay, here's the myth buster for you this morning. Are you ready for it? Because this is going to set the premise and the foundation for everything else that I'm going to say. It's not about finding the right person. It's about becoming the right person. Let's flip it. It's not about finding the right person. Wrong priority. It's about becoming the right person. Now, if you become the right person, you can go ahead and find the right person because you're going to be doing that the right way. But step one comes before step two. It's not about finding the right person. First and foremost, it's about the becoming the right person. And I love how Andy Stanley puts it. He's a megachurch pastor in Atlanta, when he frames it with this question. Are you becoming who the person you are looking for is looking for? Of course, this is underneath the assumption that who you're looking for has their stuff together. Are you becoming who the person you are looking for is looking for? A lot of people are stuck with this fairy tale mentality of what relationships can and should be. And so for them, they're just waiting for this perfect person to come and sweep them off of their feet, and then they can just live happily ever after, forever and ever. First and foremost, you know there's no such thing as a perfect person. So you've got to get this idea of somebody who meets your perfect criteria and who meets the perfect ideal. You got to get that out of your brain, because you're just going to stay stuck there forever because you're looking for something that does not exist. Nobody's perfect. And then secondly, on top of that, this one hurts a little more to say because I don't want to crush some people's dreams. And I may be wrong, but this is just how I see it. I don't think there is such a thing as happily ever after either. At least not in the way that most of us imagine it. If by happily ever after you mean a relationship with somebody that's going to involve a lot of sacrifice, a lot of compromise, and a lot of work, a relationship that as a result of that sacrifice, compromise, and work is going to also involve a lot of pain. However, in some very weird, paradoxical way, the joyous moments end up outweighing the heavier moments, and we keep on doing that happily ever after. If that's what you mean, then I'm okay with it. But if that's not what you mean, then you got the wrong picture of what a relationship is supposed to be. But it's important to know that, because if you get into a relationship with somebody and now these stumbling blocks start getting in your way, these obstacles start getting in your way, you may think something's wrong. It's not supposed to be like this. No, it's exactly how it's supposed to be. You're just seeing a whole bunch of stuff that you have to deal with for the first time ever, and it's scary, but you just got to deal with it, and you got to work through this stuff. But happily ever after isn't about just meeting somebody, clicking, and then there's no issues forever. Happily ever after is about you committing yourself to somebody, even in those very unhappy moments that you may share with them. And so that's what we're looking for. See, way too many people are spending all of their time and all of their energy trying to find the right person, and they're not spending any of their time and any of their energy becoming the right person themselves. So again, the question is, are you becoming who the person you are looking for is looking for? It's interesting because when I was younger, I grew up in church my whole life. And if you grew up in church, you knew and you know that sometimes they make you do weird things in youth group. So one of those weird things that I did, this happened to me at least 2-3 times that I can count in middle school, high school, and even when I was in a college ministry. We would sit there and we would have this conversation. You know about this. We would have this conversation about relationships and finding the one. And what would they tell you to do? They'd say, you know what? We want you to take out a list. All right, a blank piece of paper. And here's a pen or a pencil. And I want you to write down every detail, everything that you want in another person. And God cares about all of those details. So even the smallest thing, he has to be 6'1½", you know, and it has to be like this. And like, write all those details. And then we're going to pray, and you're going to pray for this, and you're not going to settle for less than this. And God's going to bring you this person. Now, at that time, when I was single and ready to mingle, you better believe I was looking at some of these lists that my girlfriends would have. But when I would look at some of these lists, I would get so depressed, because I would look at this list and I'm like, yo, this is Superman. Like, how am I supposed to? Really? This is super. Like, they would have the description of someone who is like the same as The Rock. Like, how am I supposed to be The Rock? Or now, like, if we were doing this list now, I know what all the ladies in this room would put up. I couldn't believe it. The other night when the Oscars were going on, at least 30 to 40% of the women from this church that I follow, those are only the ones that I follow, at least 30 to 40% of them were posting all about this guy from Game of Thrones who's in Aquaman now. Jason Momoa. Oh, forget it. Jason Momoa. I just seen like 5 women almost pass out right now. Just saying his name. You know what I'm saying? This guy was at the Oscars wearing a scrunchie on his arm, like it's all good, and he's just bossed up all the ladies. I'm looking at these lists like, yo, really? I can't be Aquaman. And now I'm not gonna lie, some of those people who I did those lists with are still single, maybe because they're looking for The Rock, and The Rock has his second child already. I mean, it's not, you know, that, all I'm saying is you may want to loosen up a little bit, you know? Loosen up just a little bit. But here's why I'm bringing all that up, just to help you. I honestly believe you would be 10 times better off writing a list about the kind of person that you want to be instead of writing a list about the kind of person you want somebody else to be. What a waste of time. I mean, really? Who are you becoming? Who is the kind of person that you want to be? Why is this important? Because sometimes the person that you think you want may not actually be the person that you need. Come on, somebody. I know y'all are feeling this, but it's true. You've got to stay open. It's really, it's fascinating to me. My wife and I have been, our spiritual journeys have kind of been like this for the last 3-4 years, but it's weird because it seems like we're at a point now where things are converging. We got to the same place through different directions. And now that we're at this place where we're starting to converge in a way that we haven't before, we're starting to appreciate each other a lot more. Because the truth is, the very thing that frustrated us the most about each other, which is the fact that we're complete opposites, total opposites, okay? That reality, which frustrated us so much in the beginning of our relationship, now that we're no longer concerned with trying to make the other person fit in our box, we're learning how to appreciate our differences more. And what we're starting to recognize is, oh my goodness, like if we really do this back and forth give and take thing right, we complement each other really, really well. Like we bring such a good balance to one another's lives and personalities. For example, I'm somebody who loves to play it safe. Emily, on the other hand, she's a risk taker. Fear is not a thing for Emily. Emily will jump out of whatever plane just for fun. You know what I'm saying? Emily will go hike the highest mountain. And even though I tell her, look, Google says 3 people died last year doing this hike, she will go do that hike. She does not care. She's all about living in this moment. She gives 110% to everything that she does. That helps me to be more of a risk taker. Emily, somebody, she does not care what anybody in the world thinks. I've always cared way too much about what everybody in the world thinks. And so I'm learning this from her, and it's bringing some equilibrium to my life. And in the same way, I'm hoping that by having me in her life, Emily's learning how to be a little more responsible about things. And, you know, she learns how to plan a little bit better, save a little bit of money, you know, not go too crazy. But it's, if you think about it, it's like it's this beautiful back and forth. But that very thing, that beauty that we now are just starting to discover, if I'm being honest with you, in our relationship, that beauty, it wasn't always there, because the very source of this goodness was also the source of our frustration when we didn't know what to do with it. So my point is, you've got to be open. You've got to be open. If you're not open, you may miss out on a wonderful gift that God wants to give to you, but that's coming in a package that you maybe didn't expect it to. That's the problem with having this perfect ideal or this perfect criteria of who you want to be with in your life, because that's already setting you up for failure from the very get. Because what that's teaching you to do, that's teaching you that the person you're with should be conformed into who you want them to be instead of simply being who they are. It's teaching you to enter into your relationship with that mentality. This person needs to be conformed into who I want them to be, instead of them simply being who they are. As long as you're still trying to get this person to become like this, you're always going to be miserable and unhappy. The key is to learn how to let this person be what they are, and to love them and support them and commit to them as they are, and to walk with them on the journey, not to try and get somebody to fit my picture or ideal of who I want them to be. I love how the Trappist monk Thomas Merton puts it. Please pay attention to these words very carefully. He says, the beginning of love is the will to let those we love be perfectly themselves. It's the resolution not to twist them to fit our own image. If in loving them we do not love what they are, but only their potential likeness to ourselves, then we do not love them. We only love the reflection of ourselves that we find in them. Isn't that true? But yet this is what we try and do. This is what we try and do. The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves. Because if we don't love what they are, if we only love their potential likeness to ourselves, then we don't really love them. We just love the reflection of ourselves in them. The way I heard it the other day was, if you like a flower, you pluck it. But if you love a flower, you simply let it be. You admire it. You water it daily. you appreciate it. You see the difference? If I like the flower, oh, look at the flower. It's mine, and I'm going to do whatever I want with it, and I'm going to put it here and do this. But if you love a flower, oh, I just got to let that thing be with it. I'm going to admire it as it is. I'm not going to try and possess it and own it. See, you need to be with somebody who lets you blossom like that. And you need to be with somebody who allows you to blossom like that. But you won't be able to blossom in that way in a relationship if you're not blossoming that way now. If you're not getting in tap with who you truly are on the inside and moving towards the fullness and fulfillment of your potential as a human being. See, I've worked with so many couples who go through ups and downs. And even though I don't have too much experience in relationships, I've sat in front of people who have needed help, and by God's grace, it's been able to come through me. But something that I've noticed with all the folks that I've sat down with and helped, more often than not, I would even say 99% of the time, my diagnosis is that people do not actually have relationship problems. They have personal problems that they bring into a relationship. It's almost always the case. When I sit down with people and I start digging a little deeper and I start asking some questions, it almost always comes back to that. No, y'all don't get it. You don't have relationship problems. You have two single people problems that y'all brought into this relationship. So let's handle that. Let's stop pointing the finger over there. She does this. He does that. They talk back to me like this, or they hurt me in this way. Let's stop doing that for 1 second and let's just flip it. And then let's see what comes as a result of that self-reflection. Then let's see what can begin to happen as a result of that self-awareness. But again, before you try and fix somebody else, you first got to learn how to fix yourself. That's how this thing works. That's how this thing works. So, as I mentioned, a lot of people, they bring this baggage from the past into their present because that's what we will always do. If you don't learn how to make peace with your past, if you don't learn how to bring closure to your trauma and your issues and the stuff you've had to deal with, you're always going to drag everything from your past into the present. And so do yourself a favor now and try and take care of that stuff before you get into a relationship. I mean, let's be honest. Most of the time, that's not how it works. Most of the time, we're very unaware of our issues until we have someone there mirroring us back to ourselves. But we don't technically have to wait to get into a relationship before we start working on ourselves. If you really do some self-inquiry, experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. Have you ever sat down and asked yourself, why do I continue to experience the same things over and over and over again? What could I have done better? What can I do different now? If you're just going through life and you're not growing through life, you're missing the point. Take the time now that you're on your own to work on you so that you don't bring all this stuff into a relationship. And if you do that, I'm telling you, you're going to avoid so much unnecessary pain and unnecessary suffering that comes from not doing that kind of inner work. And so you have a lot more space. You have a lot more time. You have a much better opportunity to work on yourself now that you're on your own than you will when you've got somebody else all up in your junk. So take advantage of this time that you have. The quicker you can get into this path of self-development, growth, maturity, self-awareness, the better off all of your relationships are going to be. And by the way, when I tell you work on you, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not telling you work on you so that you can be in a relationship. No. You're working on you for you. That's the point. I'm not doing this for somebody else, because then what happens if that somebody else doesn't come? You're going to crumble. Everything. I say this all the time to people in recovery that I work with. You can't get clean for anybody else except you. I'm getting clean from this person that I love, and they said they're going to break up with me if I don't get clean. Wrong reason, because they may break up with you anyways. And if that's why you were working on yourself, then what happens when that reason isn't there anymore? The only reason that's going to stick with you for the long haul is you, yourself, your own dignity and respect and integrity as a human being. So you're doing this for you. But the beautiful thing that happens is when you take care of your stuff internally, everything externally kind of tends to work itself out. At least that's what they say. And that's somewhat of what I've experienced in my life. So take the time now to work on yourself so that you can avoid all of the issues that come by entering into a relationship without healing and without doing that inner work. Now, what I want to do today to kind of finish off the shortest sermon I've ever preached ever, which is good. I've been recognizing, man, I talk way too long in front of y'all, so I'm trying to cut it up a little bit. You don't think I talk too long? I'm like, dude, I talk 45 minutes. That was a long sermon. So, all right, well, we'll see. I'm actually jealous because I have some friends who are like, you know, in the evangelical world that most of us come from, we're used to 30 to 45 minute messages. But I have now friends who are a part of different Christian traditions, like they're Anglicans or Episcopal or they're Catholic or they're Eastern Orthodox. And those priests, they preach 12-minute messages. I'm like, if I could preach a 12-minute message, you know how much of my life I could get back during the week? But you don't like 12 minutes? All right, well, anyways, I'll keep yapping. But what I want to do is I want to read to you a passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's a very popular passage of Scripture that simply describes to us what true love really is, what love really means. And my hope is that as we read this together, you can begin to somehow get some sort of a framework and you can kind of develop some sort of a goal for you to move towards in your singleness so that you can be best prepared for a relationship when that time comes. If you want to not be single and be in a relationship, because it's okay if you don't want to be. Anyways, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read it one time. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. One of the first times that I had heard this preached, the pastor who was teaching from this passage of Scripture printed out like these little bookmarks that had this verse on it. And he gave me this bookmark and I had put it in my Bible. And he had said to me, all right, Danny, I have a challenge for you and I want you to do this. I did this myself and it was very helpful. And I said, all right, what's the challenge? He says, well, when you go home and you just spend some alone time, I want you to read this passage of Scripture. But then, after you're done reading it one time, I want you to read it again, but this time replace the word love with your name. I said, okay. So I started reading, Danny is patient. Of course, I didn't do this in front of my wife. Danny is patient. Danny is kind. And it really is. It's beautiful to speak those affirmations over your life. And this may be helpful for you to see all of the ways that you're not. Because if you can make it through this whole list, putting your name in instead of love, if you can make it through that list without laughing, you're a G. You're Jesus, basically. For real. I envy you. I wish I could do that. But it's not, like, it's laughable. It's laughable how far we are from this. But it's okay. There's grace and there's mercy and we're all in process. And none of us have to be perfect ever. But it's good to have an ideal to shoot for, to aim for. And why not let that ideal be love? Because, you know, even though, like, we laugh about the fact that we're not this, in one sense, you are this. If God is love and you were created in the image of God, then your deepest essence and your truest nature is love. And so what is getting in the way? What are some of those things that are blocking you from accessing who you are in the deepest depth of your humanity? Because at the core of who you are as a human being is love. And how do I know this? Because every time you act out of love, whether it's not loving yourself or not loving another person, you bring heartache and pain and suffering on yourself. So there's something about entering into this flow of love that just feels right for us as human beings. And what we say as Christians to talk about what that means is that we come from the source of all love, which is love itself, and this love is embedded in our DNA. You are not some wicked, horrible, person that God is mad at. You are a beloved child of God. You were made by love and for love. And until you begin to love, your life will never make sense. That's who you really are. And until you start believing that, you're always going to act out of line with and out of step with who God created you to be. So we were made to be love. So what does that look like? First and foremost, love is patient. Love gives people space. Love gives people room. It doesn't rush people. It doesn't hurry people along. It doesn't put pressure on people to conform and to change. You let people move at their own pace, and you support and you help along the way. What else does it mean to be patient, especially for a lot of us who are single? It means we got to be patient with this whole process. We have to be patient with God. And patience, by the way, doesn't just mean waiting. Patience means waiting with a good attitude, because there's a difference. It's waiting with a sense of hope. It's waiting with optimism. It's waiting with faith, waiting, expecting the best possible outcome in the future. That's the kind of patience that becomes like an anchor for your soul. You know it's going to be okay. You know it's fine. And what you're looking for may not come your way now, but it will come. And I'm sure of that. And I'm waiting it out. And I'm taking advantage of every moment that I can now, because this moment is a gift that I won't have when that next thing comes. Love is patient. I love this next one that says love is kind. Another word for that is considerate. Love is considerate. Please, please, please do me a favor. Stop negating other people's feelings. Just because you don't understand why somebody feels the way they do doesn't mean that they're wrong for feeling the way that they do. Actually, let me just rephrase that for you. It's impossible for anybody to feel wrong. If they feel that way, then it's legit. And what our job is to try and understand and show compassion and make adjustments and take seriously and honor this other person's feelings, even if it doesn't make sense to us. Because I've done that before. Somebody feels hurt by me. Why are you hurt? I didn't do anything to you. And here, missing the whole point. If somebody's hurt, if somebody feels a certain type of way, honor that. Respect that. Don't negate it just because you don't understand it. That's what it means for love to be considerate. You take seriously other people's feelings. And you make adjustments as necessary to try and help them see they don't need to feel that way if that's the case. The next one, love. Love does not envy. Another word for that is jealousy. Love is not jealous. Listen to me. Don't make the person that you're with pay for the pain that somebody else caused you. We do this all the time. We get in such a bad habit of doing this. Don't make your partner pay for the pain that somebody else caused you. Just because that person betrayed you doesn't mean this person is going to betray you. Just because that person hurt you doesn't necessarily mean this person is going to hurt you. And I know it's hard for you to do that because it means being vulnerable. But love is vulnerability. We shouldn't be entering into our relationships like this on defense, trying to dodge stuff and trying to hit people. No, it's like Muhammad Ali when he put his hands behind his back, you know? He's boxing like that. There's a lot more of a chance you may get struck. There's a lot more of a chance you may get hit. Yeah, but that's what this is, people. So get comfortable in the vulnerability. Get comfortable putting yourself out there. Love is always a risk. And so you've got to learn how to trust the person that you're with. And really what it is you've got to learn. This is tough, especially for my generation, which is why I spoke about this last week and I'm speaking about it again. You've got to trust that your partner knows when to draw the line with other people. Let me give you an example of this. When I was dating Emily, I found out very quickly that dudes out there have zero chill about anything. We would be at the beach. I'm holding her hand. There would still be dudes with me right next to her, whistling at her, or hollering at her, or saying a couple things and then looking at their friends and laughing and scanning her up and down. This is happening while I'm next to her. I'm like, what? You guys, y'all don't do not care. The other day I was in the gym, for example. And, well, before I get to that story, let me say this with Emily. What I realized was, listen, if this happens while I'm there, imagine what happens when I'm not there. So you do know that thought could drive a person absolutely crazy. I mean, I'm not. It's normal, right, for me to feel like that? Okay, I'm just checking. If I wanted it to be a thing, it could be a thing that tortures me. But that's what you got to recognize insecurity is. It's just a form of you torturing yourself. So what I had to do was learn how to trust that my partner will know when to draw the line in certain interactions with other people from the opposite sex. But I'm not going to be trying to manage those interactions with people from the opposite sex. Does that make sense? Now, that takes a big level of trust. And some of y'all aren't ready for that. But if you're not ready for it, that just means you're not ready for peace. And you're not ready for happiness. So you got to decide what you really want in your life. I was with my boy at the gym this week, actually. This dude is like your typical macho guy. And I don't know if I look or have that appearance to be that, but I'm the complete opposite of that, okay? So these guys, you know, and I don't tell people at the gym what I do, at least not right away, unless the subject comes up. So everybody thinks I'm just like this normal dude, which I am normal. But it's like they say things to me that they typically wouldn't say if they knew that I was a pastor, you know? So I keep that on the low. What do you do? Oh, I work for a nonprofit. Yeah, we do a lot of good social work in the community. That's true. We do. It's true. And it's funny because sometimes I'll hang out with people and I'm like, yo, please don't tell them I'm a pastor. I'm like, please, I hope they don't tell them. You don't tell this person I'm a pastor because then they're going to get weird. And then, like, they say a bad word and they apologize to me. I get so tired of that. I'm like, bro, it's fine. Like, it's fine. You want me to say it too? Damn. Like, for real. So, oh, my gosh. Anyhow, I was at the gym with this dude, and this guy is super macho. Like, he's hollering from one side of the gym to another just to get attention. He's like, yeah, yeah, what you doing today, bro? Chess? Me too, bro. I'm doing chess, bro. Yeah, I feel good, man. I'm pumped today. All right, bro, I see you. He's like that. He's just, like, in his own world. And so I was leaving the gym. This was, like, Thursday or Friday this week, and I'm getting my shake. And he's there, so I'm just talking to him. And older guy, I mean, 45, 50, and, sorry if I said older. But so I turned 30 in a couple months. Sorry, I didn't mean that. But, we're there talking or whatever, and he's always talking about the ladies. And really the truth is, in most gyms, if you're a woman and you're wearing spandex, you're just not safe. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you feel safe, even if nobody's bothering you, which is a miracle if nobody bothers you, you've been in like 10 people's minds that whole time, and they're obsessed. That's just how it is with women at the gym. And so this lady comes in. She's coming straight from work. It's like 5 p.m. She's got her nursing outfit on, and she walks in. She checks in. Hi, how are you? She walks away. This dude who's right next to me is like, hey, mommy. Wow, look at that. Like that. This woman, she turns around and she sees me. So she thinks that I was doing that, and I got so mad. I'm like, bro, are you serious? Why would you do that? She looked at me. Now she's going to think I'm a creep. And then if she finds out who I am, now she's really going to think I'm a creep. I'm like, oh, my God. But the point is, people have no chill. And we know this. Like, we know this. So there is a reason why sometimes people feel threatened. I get it, especially in our social media age, you know. I understand that. But at the end of the day, there has to be trust, which means there has to be vulnerability. And the more you can move towards that place where you're so secure in yourself that you can leave room for that, the better off you're going to be. See, jealousy doesn't show how much you love someone. Jealousy just shows how insecure you are. And insecurity will drive you crazy if you allow it to. Next one, it says, love does not boast. And it goes with the other one. Love is not proud. So I don't always have to have the answer. I don't always have to win. I don't always have to put my foot down. I don't always have to be correct. I don't always have to have the last word. I learn how to agree to disagree with somebody else. I try and look at things from the other perspective. Then it says, love does not dishonor others. I love this. You want to know what that means for relationships? It means you got to learn how to fight clean, which is an art, by the way. Fighting clean, fighting well, fighting in a way that leads to greater intimacy. Oh, that's an art, and that takes time. But here's how you do it. Fighting clean is the art of learning how to express your point without putting somebody else down in the process. That's all it is. That's all it is. If you can understand that concept and you can approach your interactions in that way, that's going to go such a long way. All it is you learning how to express your point and express your opinion without having to belittle somebody else in the process. If you start watching yourself and analyzing yourself, and if you haven't gotten to the point where you can do that in the moment and you just have to like lash out on people and then later you recognize what you did, fine. Better late than never. But if you start recognizing, oh my goodness, look at how I am. You know what I'm saying? Look at how I react. Look at how I just get like this. You'll start noticing, oh my goodness, like I so often try and prove my point by making this person feel stupid. Or look at me right now. I'm trying to win this argument, and the way that I'm doing that is by getting personal. That's how you know you're not even anywhere near a good solution. When you're not even talking about the issue anymore, you're just saying bad things about the other person. You turned an issue into a personal problem. Oh, yuck. That's just so icky. Ain't nobody got time for that stuff. But we do it all the time. So what would it look like if I learned how to communicate my point? Sometimes that means strong. That you could do that strong. Expressing my opinion and not backing down from it, but not doing it in a way that belittles you or makes you feel stupid. Because, listen, I got to tell you, I'm good at that if I want to be, you know. I'm good with my words. I can think well. And so a lot of times my own self-defense mechanism is I'm going to outsmart you and make you look dumb in the process so that you can know that I'm right. And that hasn't worked at all for me. So please don't do that. Okay, next one. Love is not self-seeking. You know and you learn how to lay down your preferences for the sake of another. It doesn't always have to be your way. Not being self-seeking means you know how to compromise with another person. Compromise. You meet people halfway. This person shouldn't have to walk all that way to get to you every time. It's a give and take. It's a back and forth. Sometimes you bite the bullet. Sometimes the other person bites the bullet. That's okay. It's a part of the process. Then it says love. Ooh, this one's hard. Love is not easily angered. Love is not easily angered. I am convinced that the worst thing you could ever do when you are angry is open your mouth. Just don't do it. The worst, by far, the worst thing you could ever do when you are mad is open your mouth. You want to know why? Because anything that comes out of that at that point is just going to be destructive. It's just going to tear somebody down. It's just going to make the situation worse. And it's just going to make me even crazier. Do you realize that being angry is just a way of you punishing yourself for somebody else's mistake? That's all it is. Being angry is a form of punishing yourself for somebody else's mistake. They're the ones that did something bad, but you want to keep that alive and remind yourself of that over and over and over again. And so you are just driving yourself crazy over and over and over again. Meanwhile, that person's probably not even thinking about you anymore. And yet here you are, angry, bitter, holding on to this stuff. That's why they say holding on to anger and bitterness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. That's all it is. If you're angry, that's not on somebody else. That's on you. Why does that kind of an attitude still trigger you like this? To the point where you get this mad? Maybe I have a false sense of self that I'm trying to defend. Maybe my ego is just at an all-time high, and I have a hard time when somebody comes against me in that way. Again, free yourself from the pain of this. And then last but not least, love keeps no record of wrongs. It's about forgiveness, looking over things, not making a big deal out of little issues. You know, you don't have to participate in every argument that you're invited into. You can say no thank you sometimes. And you know where I'm practicing this? Because really, and we're going to get into this a lot in the months to come, hopefully. But you have to practice in the little things to get better at the big things. So if I'm going to get better at not popping off on my partner when we're talking about serious issues, financial issues, house issues, whatever, I first got to learn how not to pop off and get crazy when I'm in the car and somebody cuts me off. Really, step by step. Some of y'all, you can't even hear what I'm saying because you don't even know how to do it at that level. But practice with the little things. Start catching yourself. Start seeing the tricks that your mind plays on you. Start taking a step back and saying, I don't have to join every argument I'm invited to. So I'm practicing that this year on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, that's my resolution. That's my, you know, because when you put content in the world and you do it in the name of Jesus, but it doesn't sound like what everybody else who follows that name says, you get a lot of criticism. So I'm just letting people argue amongst themselves. I'm not taking the bait anymore. Why? Because here's something I've learned. Not to get into a whole Facebook thing, but hopefully this can apply. Here's what I've learned. I get so mad and personally affected by those social media interactions that go south that I started thinking to myself, how can I allow somebody who I may not even see in person for the rest of my life? Like this person who left this comment, I can go the rest of my life without ever actually seeing them in person. So they're irrelevant to me in a sense. And yet here I am allowing this person who is technically irrelevant to my life jack up my life and make me mad, which then affects the way that I treat other people. What? I'm not going to do that. You practice with the little things and you get better at the bigger things. But you can overlook stuff. You don't have, you got to learn how to choose your battles wisely. Everybody's heard that before, right? Choose your battles wisely. Not every hill is worth dying on. If you can let it go, let it go. And if we're honest with each other, there's probably a lot more we can let go than we think we can. Now, here's the last verse. We're going to wrap up. This is really a summary of all I've been trying to share with us this morning. Paul puts it like this. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. This is all we're talking about. It's just about growing up. It's just about maturing. It's just about becoming an adult. Because some of us are in here wondering, why is it that every person I get into a relationship with ends up being so childish? Why is it that every time I get into a relationship, I run into the same problems over and over and over again? Listen, boo-boo, have you ever considered that maybe, just maybe, you're attracting what you are? Have you ever thought about that? Really? Because who you choose to be with says a lot about the kind of person that you are. And the moment you allow that person to be your mirror, when you turn it back on, it's always about you. It's never about them. It's always about you. And when you bring it back to you, that's when the growth can happen. So take advantage of this time that you're single and that you're alone to boss up, man. Boss up. Work on your stuff. Get nitty gritty with every level and aspect of your life. Have everything going on all cylinders. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, feel good about yourself. Boss up. Get a good, healthy sense of self-confidence and self-worth. And you know what happens when you do that? Now your radar gets better. Now you do a better job at choosing people because you know I'm on this path. And so I can very easily pick up whether somebody is also on this same path of personal growth and self-development or not. And if they're not, then they're just not for me because I'm going somewhere. I'm on this train. So either get on or get off. But this train is going somewhere. You know what I mean? So own up, boss up, get your sense of self-confidence back, and you're going to start learning how to pick and choose people in a way that's even better. And then, this is the best part of it all, you can, and I'm being hypocritical because I didn't do this when I was single, for sure. I'm just telling you, looking back, what I would do. And I really do think this is a possibility. I think it is very possible for you to get to a point where you're so complete, you're so healthy, you feel so whole in and of yourself that even though you want a relationship, you don't really need one anymore. Wouldn't that be a nice place to be? That is possible. Again, I never did that, but I think it's possible. So y'all try it and let me know if it works. But I do think, okay, we got some people here saying it works. Oh, I know you've been doing it. Actually, I know your story. You really had to do that. So, and you got people here, yeah, who can help tell you their stories and save you a lot of time and energy. But really, I want to get to a point where I can say, I want a relationship. I can make use of a relationship. This would be a great way to enhance my life, but I don't need it anymore to be happy. I don't need it anymore to feel whole. I don't need it anymore to feel secure about myself. Now, that's something that's worth pursuing in your single years. So that's my prayer for y'all. Boss up, get saucy, make better choices, grow, have all your stuff hidden on all cylinders, feel as good about yourself as you can. You realize, like, when that's the kind of energy you're exuding, that's what you're going to bring into your life. You know, but if you're around here, like, all sloppy and messy and you don't got your stuff together and you're hanging in places where that's where people are at in their life, don't get surprised. If you're getting something that isn't up to par. Anyways. Yeah. We have fun. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Let's pray out. God, we're just so thankful that we can be whole and complete in and of ourselves without needing somebody else to fill some sort of a void. Today, God, I pray for all of the singles who are here, that you would help them develop this sense of self-confidence, that you would help them to passionately pursue their own personal growth and development so that they can know and feel deep within the recesses of their soul that they are enough. God, we're not looking for somebody to complete us. We're just looking for somebody to complement us. And so, God, we're committing ourselves to this journey of self-discovery and self-awareness and self-reflection and maturity and growth. God, we pray for our future partners, whoever they may be. And we ask, God, that you would help move them in this same direction in life. Lord, help us to become more and more what we already are, which is love. In this love, God, we find peace. In this love, we find fulfillment. May that be what we become. God, we entrust ourselves to you in this season of our lives, and we're open and receptive to all of the things you have to teach us and show us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.